From Glitch HQ on Riverside Avenue in 100 times nice Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
I'm Martha McGarry, and I make nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Martha Croy, I too make nice games. This week it's our 100th episode.
Woo!
We'll take you behind the scenes, talk about the work that goes into creating the show, and reveal the ups and downs of the last 99 episodes. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start. Whew, three digits.
We've said that intro over 100 times now.
That's true. It is over 100 times.
It's because we've messed up a bunch.
Yeah, we're calling it the 100th episode because that's the number that's going to go on the file. But yes, it's a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
We had a couple of episodes that we recorded and didn't number and didn't release.
Right.
And there is one episode that we numbered and didn't release.
Because we didn't get to record it.
Well, because there was a technical issue. It was one of the nice plays.
Oh, I remember that one, though. Yeah.
And there was another one we did that we then abandoned and started over.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been in it for over 100.
Yes.
But actually, if you go look at your feed, it's probably like 102, because we also had two or three little five-minute like promos. We did. We gave away some GlitchCon tickets. Yeah. We put out a mini episode to say that we didn't number that one.
We had that GDC thing, right? That short one?
Yep, a little GDC preview thing. Uh-huh. Like, we did little things. Like, what I'm saying is that don't write us letters.
Yeah.
Don't count them up. This is 100. But when we started the show, we had to establish, like, file naming conventions for things.
Yeah.
And the first decision I made was just two leading zeros.
Yes.
Because I believed in us. And here we are.
Your faith has been rewarded.
Yeah. I didn't do four leading zeros because, come on, guys.
Right, yeah,
not even the macros have gotten that far yet.
So did you guys, I mean, it's been, we did a 1 year special.
We did.
The reason we're at 100 now and it's not been 2 years yet is because there were a couple of weeks we put out two episodes.
Yes.
So we hit the mark a little bit early. So we've had a celebratory episode not that long ago. I mean, I guess it was 8 months ago, but you know, that is a while ago.
Right. Yeah.
But did you guys think we'd make it this far?
I don't know what I thought when we first started.
Believe.
I guess. Yeah. I had no idea how long this would be and how much effort it would be to take it. Not in a good way. In a good way. It's all rewarding.
Sure.
Like, it feels good because I feel like we're doing a good service. I hope. At least tell us if we're not, and then let me know. We can fix
it. Don't tell Steven that we're not providing a good service.
Nice game.
Be nice to Steven.
/feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think when we first started, I'm not sure what I thought. Like, I didn't really listen to podcasts back then. I don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, you still don't.
But like, being a part of a podcast, like I have a better understanding of like what goes into it. It's just like developing games. When you start working it, you understand what goes into them a lot more.
Yeah.
And like, there is a lot of effort into it, but like, it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun present.
Been getting more and more recently. We've been getting people coming to us and telling us how much they appreciate the show, which is like, for a little podcast like this, is like really, really, it gets us going.
Yeah.
Martha, someone recently just gets.
Yeah,
I told you a story, right?
Yeah, because I was advertising Clawbreaker on the Prime message boards, and someone was like, "Oh my god, I've been listening to your show for like 6 months, and I had no idea that you were a Prime person or like anything like that." So, yeah.
So that does keep us going because the show is kind of routine now. Like we've set it up. It kind of runs not on its own exactly, but like.
Huh.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why we were talking about the 100th episode. Like, what big thing are we gonna do? And it's like, well, like we got a good thing going. Let's not plan a big thing. Let's just do an episode. And so that's why this is really gonna just be us about talking about the show. So if you want to hear our latest game dev thoughts, maybe wait till next week. We're really gonna talk more about getting this going, but it should apply to any project that you want to put on that you want to sustain.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're all making games. Clawbreaker's coming out, or is it out already?
It
should.
Yes.
I think it's out. Yes, it is.
Well, yeah, by our calendar, it's only a couple of days. So, yeah, the Clawbreaker's out now. So, like, that's one of the things when we started the show. We were like, well, we want to actually start putting our games out. And now that's true for most of the people at this table.
Which is special, coming soon.
Coming soon, yeah. But like, I think it's important because for people who are in a similar situation as we are, like you're sort of getting going, you've done a lot of work, but maybe you haven't quite done that sort of getting over that hump of recognition.
Yeah.
It does.
And you don't have a mark being like, here's all the things you need to do and when you need to do them.
Well, these things take sustained effort.
Yes,
I think that's hopefully that's something that we can teach, at least how we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally how we did it. Mm-hmm. Just kept doing it.
Yeah. So let's start at the beginning. How the show started.
Yes.
The show was my idea. So I guess I'll just start with my part, and then I'll bring you guys in when you guys come in. It is kind of strange because I think it was just kind of on a whim, sort of like, it sounds like a fun thing to do. I've always kind of thought it would be fun. I used to do radio when I was in college, and I liked doing that. And so it's always been like a little thing in the back of my head, like, wouldn't it be fun to do that again? Well, what scenario would come up where that would make sense or be practical? And this sort of made sense and was practical, at least it felt somewhat to me.
Yeah.
But the thing was, mostly, the name Nice Games Club. Yes. Is that came to me first.
Ah.
And I was like, I got to use that for something.
Beautiful name.
And I was like, oh, look, a dot club domain name is a thing that exists. So wouldn't that'd be a cool name for a publisher, or that'd be a cool name for like some sort of organization thing. And so I just kept that in my pocket. I think I bought the domain before I decided I wanted the name of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to Ava, who is the executive director here at Glitch, where we record the show.
Right.
And said, would it be okay if I used the space to do a podcast? It would be kind of fun. And she liked the idea a lot. I think, Stephen, you were there when I talked to her.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
And it was great, because I wanted to ask you to be a part of it.
Yes.
And because I think I had the two of you in mind immediately. I don't think it was anyone else. And I didn't know either of you as well as I do now.
Right.
We were pals, and Martha, we were in the immersion program together, mm-hmm. and Stephen, we've been going back and forth through Glitch, so mm-hmm. I sometimes forget you weren't in that same program with us at the
yeah.
same time.
Yeah.
But it was always the two of you, mm-hmm. and so that's definitely a thing that I've gotten out of it, is because I forget, it's like we weren't as close as you weren't the pals to me that you are now.
Yeah, and we're so best friends now.
That's Yay! Tight. That's tight.
That is the best thing I've gotten out of this.
Yeah.
So Stephen, Ava, you and I were having lunch.
Yes.
And talking about
yes.
this as a premise.
Yeah, and then you asked me about it, and I was like, whoa. Because, well, first off, like I said, I didn't listen to podcasts, so I barely understand what they were. Uh-huh. And I have a history of being, I have a fear of being recorded, particularly in video.
Yeah.
I was really concerned about that because I thought that like audio would just it'd be just as mm-hmm. bad.
There are a lot of decisions on this show that stem from the fact that we cannot be on camera.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying that it does.
It's a design constraint.
It's exactly what it is. It shapes what the show is.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it is. And that's important, is like when I asked you guys to be a part of it, I wanted to make sure that you weren't my lieutenants, that you guys were, that it was your show.
Yeah.
But at first you weren't that excited.
No, I wasn't. Cause like I said, it all seemed really scary to me. And I was a different person back then. Mm-hmm. And so like, I didn't have a lot of self-confidence. And I didn't think that like I would be even a good person on a podcast. But I think I'm doing a pretty good job now.
nicegames.club/feedback.
Yeah, let me know. But having done this for so long, I'm really excited that I am a part of this. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's been a huge success in a lot of people. Like it, they've learned from it, and like we've had people on the show who have specifically said that like they learned a lot from Nice Games Club. Or like they're inspired by Nice Games Club, or just hearing us argue about stuff is entertaining.
Yeah,
that's inspiring, and it really mm-hmm. it keeps me going. It keeps me wanting to make the episodes. But when you first pitched it, I was nervous. I was very nervous about it. Mm-hmm. When we did our first episode, though, everything felt much more natural than I ever expected. And I just kept doing it.
I remember thinking, like, I had confidence that you'd be pretty good in it, yeah. but like I didn't have certainty of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought maybe you would not like it. Mm. I always thought you'd be good at it, but I was worried that you wouldn't enjoy it. Mm. And after that first episode, I think you were like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
And that was a real nice
moment. Was totally what it was. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is not bad at all.
But so why did you even agree to it?
I don't know. I don't know why. Why did I agree to it?
Was it just peer pressure?
Maybe a little bit. I'm sure a little bit of it was peer pressure.
Yeah.
And also both of you were really, actually, I think that was it. Both of you were really excited about it.
Okay.
And like, so I was like slightly excited about it too. Uh-huh. And then got more excited after I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of it. I just fed off of y'all's excitement.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's another point in favor of a community.
Yeah.
Right? We always talk about that, about having a community, you know, like whether it's online or in person, mm-hmm. to like have people to talk to about the work you want to do, because it can really, it can motivate you in ways that you don't expect.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. Martha, you always wanted to do this though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to lunch. I took you to lunch at the place
at
nearby.
Town Hall, which is where we now go every time after we record. Yeah.
And I said, Martha, I want to do it. And before I finish the sentence.
yes.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten really, really into listening to podcasts. And me and my boyfriend Dylan have always wanted to do a podcast together. And we're still going to do one. I'm working on it. But we're not as like, we're both like kind of people who join on things. And like, it takes a lot of effort to start something, mm-hmm. and get people to follow you to do it, or like organize yourself to do it. Mm-hmm. And so like, that was what was cool, because Mark has all this experience doing stuff and putting stuff together, that it was like, oh, this is like, here's the structure and you just have to do this thing, yeah. this part of it.
Right. That made it so much easier to
yeah.
do. I just kind of had to sit down at a table and start talking.
I mean, you've both since have had to do more of that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I did want to build it at first to make it easier for you guys to agree to do, mm-hmm. and to do. And so I took on a lot more of the responsibility at the beginning. And what's great is that I took less over time, not because it was my plan, but because you guys demanded it. And I think that is really validating, is like, you guys were like, okay, I want to do more, I want to be more responsible for the, so I want to put more on my shoulders, than before. I'm like, oh, okay, sure, I guess I always knew I was going to ask you to eventually, but this is great.
Yeah.
So it was a little ahead of schedule almost, so I really like that. Listeners may know Dylan as on our Evil Games Club episodes.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Also, Dylan was on our unaired pilot.
Yeah.
Hey. He was our sort of guest that we had. I think it was literally because he was here.
Yes. Yeah, because he helped us set up that day.
He helped us set up, and we had 4 microphones.
Yeah. So
just... Well, and he was insanely jealous. He's still pretty jealous.
Well, he's evil.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we do need to have him back. Although, really, it's not. It's up to the Evil Games Club mothership to crash in. So, really, if they want to, have it back, they got to take the place by storm.
Right? We have reinforced our borders.
For listeners who don't know what we're talking about, there's 2 Evil Games Club episodes. Look back in the archive.
Yes.
For them, they'll explain themselves.
I was going to say something, but I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. This is what happens too. We should not edit this far down.
Yeah, good thinking.
This happens all the time.
Yeah, we do edit the show we started out editing out a lot of ums and ahs. Mm-hmm. We stopped doing that. And I don't know that we're better at not doing the ums and ahs. We just don't care as much if you hear them as we did originally.
Yeah.
Well, I still take out ones that are pretty egregious, like ones that make the person sound less confident in what they're saying, mm-hmm. even though they are confident in what they're saying, they just had like to pause or something. Mm-hmm. And for me, I don't know if like, there's so often well, I will say words and then have a pause and then another word and then another pause and then a word and then a pause, and I have to go in and take out all the little pauses so I don't sound like a robot.
What I like about that, because Steve and I have had to do that as well. But what I love about the way you do that, Martha, is that when you edit someone, I used to do a lot of production audio work, and I've taken interviews and I've done, make someone sound a little clearer. They like start a sentence and finish it. I'll take the first half and cinch it to the second half, as long as the meaning is the same, whatever. Yeah. So I've done work like that where I've stitched things together in a way to make it seamless. And it's so hard because people do the ums and ahs, and that is connective tissue. They change their tone because now they've ummed and ahs. So now they have to, because the listener has heard that, right? That they're talking to in person.
Right.
So then the next thing they say accounts for that.
Yeah.
Right. And so actually cinching it together can be really unnatural. Martha, you, however, you will pause and it's just like stopping the tape.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
And then when you pick up again, it's as if you were just continuing the sentence at the exact same cadence, and you are much easier to edit than you think you are.
Okay.
It's very true.
Maybe we have to do it a little more often. But yeah. Almost never is it like, I can't think of a time where it's been hard to put a sentence of yours together.
Well, that's good at least. I feel kind of bad sometimes because I'm like, even while I'm talking, I'm like, ooh. This is 5 minutes of work for somebody.
Right. And then, but over time, we've been less self-conscious about that overall. Still a little bit, obviously. Hopefully our listeners will have come along with us this far.
Yeah.
They don't need to. We're not selling the existence of this show
right.
at this point. Mm-hmm. So as long as it's clear, and that's, I know the edits I make, and we each, we haven't really talked about it, but we cycle. So we each edit episodes, as week to week. I'm only really interested in editing things to make it so that you don't think your podcast player stopped working or that, like,
right, yeah.
You know, that's kind of all I'm interested in, is just the sort of the leaky boat part of editing. I'm not really interested in much more than that. Mm. And you know, when we have interviews, we tell people, our guests, like, hey, you know, if you want to if you want to like take a minute or re-say a thing or tell us not to include that in the episode or whatever, we will do that. We want to make people comfortable, but we haven't had to do that very much. It's mostly about making people feel comfortable that we have the ability to massage what they say so that they look great. But I can't really think of a time where that's been super necessary.
Yeah. It's like our guests have been really great.
Yeah.
Once we tell them that like you can do whatever, then they just kind of do whatever, and it works really well.
Yeah. Yeah. We've kind of got a routine, like a routine set up with guests too, of what to say, just to, so that they see, I'm doing it again. We have a routine with guests to show them how to do the podcast really quickly. So how to hold their microphone in the right way, how to orbit around the microphone so they don't sound like this
right.
when they're talking like this. And, and I guess, should we talk about our roles during, because this kind of gets into the like the
yeah,
different roles
that we're talking about guests, so that we handle guest interviews a little bit differently than normal episodes. Stephen, why don't you start with your sort of
right
outside the sort of duties we share, what's your, you know,
role on the show,
yeah,
outside and inside of it?
Sure.
Okay. So yeah, outside of the show, I write up the scripts and I coordinate with the guests to get them on the show. So that can include also code comments and stuff. But I guess also included, like when we had Color Jumper and stuff, I coordinated with Ben to have him on the show. Did we have him? We had him on the show. Mm-hmm. And, also to get his game, so we could like do a nice play of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just coordinate with people and get them on there, and then we start talking. Then we have dinner afterwards. It's always really fun.
I sort of, during interviews, I take on the role of like, being really smiley so the person feels comfortable. So that's why I don't talk very much during them, because I'm just like emoting at everything they say.
I think that helps them a lot. It helps me. Makes things feel much more exciting. Yeah.
And Martha, you do, now at this point, you do as much of editing as I do.
Yes.
And Stephen, you do a little less because of the way that it all maps out. And that sort of balances out with some of the extra work, Stephen, you do to get the interview episodes going. Martha, you also promote the show on social media and also within our community.
You do.
You're laughing because you're self-conscious about it.
Yeah,
I'm not very good at, I don't think I'm very good at the social media thing, because now I've pawned it off on whoever edits the episode post the episode.
We put out, tweets and, you know, Facebook messages, the any extra work that involves, like, you know, talking about the show to the, you know, the PR stuff, that's what Martha does. And every week she'll put a post in our local community Slack and encourage discussion in the community to sort of keep that going. So it's not just posting the tweet new episode, but that, because we've automated a lot of that.
Yeah.
I edit, you know, a certain, as much as Martha edits, and then I run the board during the show. It's on my computer. We record, and we can talk about equipment a little bit later.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I hit play. It's not that complicated. But I'm responsible for the technical aspects.
Yeah.
So I make sure that, you know, I'll keep an eye on the pots, as they say in old radio terms. Make sure that people aren't clipping and stuff like that. So I'd have a little extra cognitive load, but it's not that hard.
And you've been doing it for a while too, right?
Yeah. So. Well, the experience I have, so I was a college radio DJ.
Right.
So for a couple of years, I did that. And it's like riding a bike. There are things you don't forget, like, you know, how to orbit a microphone.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, it's like that. Ironic. That's not ironic. I don't know how what ironic means, clearly.
Do I have a song for you?
It's interesting how orbiting around microphones feels like really natural, really fast.
Yeah.
Because like you get, if you have these, we have headphones on. Now we're talking about technical stuff. We have headphones on when we're recording, so we can hear ourselves like as we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you start talking like this, then you'll hear it. And then you naturally orbit, so you can keep hearing yourself in your microphone.
Right. Steven's moving around as if you can see what he's doing. But of course, Steven doesn't want to be video recorded.
Right.
So. So that's the thing we tell guests is like, you know, when you're talking to the microphone, you'll want to, we have a round table here that we record around a table. And so you have to turn to the other people at the table.
Right.
And so it's very natural just to look at, to just turn your head and look at them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're recording, you want to actually orbit around the microphone in a way that sort of your axis point is the microphone and not your neck.
Yeah.
And that's, it takes a little while for people to pick up on. The three of us are now incredibly like practiced at it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just little things like that, little habits. And that's the key is habits.
Yeah.
Because if you want to have if you want to make a project, habits aren't as important, but if you want to make an ongoing thing,
right?
Like that eventually will feel at least like it runs itself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You need to develop those habits. And that's the thing that we've worked hardest on. So that the show doesn't feel like effort.
Yeah.
Because this is not our main thing.
No.
This is like our third or fourth thing.
Right. As you know, we make games.
Yeah. Right. That was the one thing I was probably the most worried about. Mm-hmm. If you have a day job and you have your nights and weekends projects and then this. And if this was going to start eating into the reason I'm doing it. I was a little worried about that.
Yeah.
I mean, someone could do the math, but I'm pretty sure we've gotten away with this being an extra thing in our lives without taking much or anything away from our lives.
Yeah. We had to experiment a bunch with the schedule at first.
Oh, yes.
Because,
that's true.
Because, well, we had two constraints. One was our own schedules, and then two was the schedule of things happening in the same building as us.
Oh yeah.
So originally we were recording on Wednesday nights.
Yes,
Wednesday nights,
and we were doing. We used to do roundtable or
the co-op talk.
Co-op talk.
Yeah.
Recap. So co-op talk is a glitch event that it's basically one of our roundtables about a topic, and anyone can show up and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would pull someone from that group and have them record right after. At like 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Or at least it felt like 10 p.m.
Seemed like a real good idea.
And that was one of the first creative control arguments that we all had, because I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And you both were like super into them, and I felt really bad. So like I didn't say it for a while, and then I was like,
you were ultimately right though.
I super do not want to do this.
It's still a good idea for an episode, but the effort it took and the variables we couldn't control made it really hard to sustain.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was the right call. And that was the first big change to the show in terms of how the format worked. And we have done that a couple of times where we changed the types of episodes we do. But yeah, we were recording on Wednesdays. And the problem with that would be that we're recording the physical space we are, our clubhouse, is in the conference room at Glitch HQ. And it's on the second floor of a small building. And below us is the Viking bar.
Well, it was the Viking
bar. It was. Right. This is a bar that was closed for 10 or 15 years and just had a cool sign and it was empty. And then about maybe a year after Glitch moved in, they got new owners.
Yes.
A lot of renovation, much noise, very annoying for a couple months. But so it goes. And then they opened. And they had music acts every night. And the whole building shook, and they would do sound checks like as early as 5 o'clock.
Yep.
And we recorded the show Wednesday evenings, and we would be just in panic.
Yeah.
Because we're directly above the stage.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure in our earlier episodes, you can hear a lot of that noise. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the first 6 months of episodes, because not only was it there, but we weren't as good at getting around it.
Yeah.
And so you can definitely hear, and our attempts to like use noise canceling or sound modeling to get rid of that in post, some of it's kind of obvious. So yeah. I don't mind sort of maybe throwing a little shade their way, because like we tried to work with them. We're like, listen, you guys, you don't have any customers for the band until later. So we can make sure we're done, but like we share a building, so let's be pals.
Mm-hmm.
And can you at least not have sound checks early
until like the right before the show?
Yeah, and the bands that come in, they don't know, as soon as they get there, they want to start testing their stuff.
Yeah,
fine, but because no one told them that like they should be quieter, or at least quieter, or at least not throw the amp on and leave it humming, whatever. Anyway, they were not responsive. They were more like, but that would make it like hard for us. And it's like, right, but we're neighbors. Like, maybe. Like, and it was it was very difficult to convince them that like that we weren't impeding on them.
Yeah, they were really rigid about what they wanted. And like they also, they would say things and then be wrong about them. Like they would say, yeah, we don't have recordings on Wednesdays. That's to be, that'll be a fine day to do it. And then they had, and then they had people.
That's right. Cause when we picked a day because we asked them.
Yeah. We asked them like, what day would you not have stuff as much? And they're like, oh, Wednesdays. And then they had something literally every Wednesday.
Yeah.
It was like,
and we would ask them and they would say like, oh, well, things changed. And like, you know, I can't be responsible for the things I want to do. Like, you know,
it's like you could listen. Could have let us know because we were letting you know what we were doing.
Right.
But anyway, it's fine. They're closed now.
Yeah, so. There was an ownership dispute and much drama. And we were just, you know, we were fine with all that. Yeah. So they're gone now. So we're actually in much better shape. We can record whenever we want.
Nice shades club.
Here's the best part of the story is when it was the worst.
Yeah.
I said, guys, I'm sick of having an out time that makes me nervous. I don't want things to just run on forever, but I'd rather just end when we want to end and not have to like hurry up and get out the door. Because some of those early episodes, when you start hearing that noise, you can hear us wrapping it up. and that's just a terrible feeling. Kind of ruins the day. Yeah. So I was like, let's just record on Saturdays because then we can just, you know, we don't have to worry about it. And like the, we can start earlier. There's always a band on Saturdays, but they don't start till the evening and we'll be done by 3 or 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you guys were resistant to the idea. But
it's a Saturday.
Right, right. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, I think I got you to move on it basically by saying like it, we have to do it. Like we just have to do it. And then the week we did it, the first week we did it, the Viking bar closed for good. And we put all this and we're just like, you know what? We did it. We're just on Saturdays now.
This is our life.
And you guys, it's a good day to record,
it is.
Right?
It's honestly, like, it's much better than doing it on weekdays, largely because, like, it did feel rushed.
Yeah.
And, like, weekdays, we're all doing work. We got work in the morning and stuff. And, like, ain't nobody trying to wake up early.
Yeah.
After being up late recording episodes. It's So, like, doing it on a Saturday makes it a lot easier and relaxing.
And we don't record every Saturday.
Yes.
We record every other week. We do 2 episodes per recording. So sometimes you'll hear us talk about like, oh, next week you'll hear. And we only usually say that when we're talking about the episode we're recording that day.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we don't usually know.
Yeah.
And so what we'll do is we'll record 1 roundtable and then 1 other type of episode.
Yes.
And that's sort of that that way we don't get boring.
Yeah. This is the other type of episode for the day, I think.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yep. We have a roundtable recording after this, episode 101. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that next week. let's talk about the clubhouse. We've sort of started out. This is Glitch HQ.
Should we take pictures?
Maybe that's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take
pictures.
We did want to take pictures. Like when we had interviews, we want to take a picture every, like, you know, us smiling with them. I think we had the Korths and Baby Gabe on our first interview, episode 2, and we did take a picture, like a group picture together. Maybe I wasn't in that because I think I took the picture. Not well planned. That was the idea. We would take a picture each time, but like that became too like onerous to do each time.
We literally just forgot most of the time. Yeah. It was too much effort to remember.
It wasn't a habit worth developing, and so we changed the show to not need that anymore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we should definitely take more pictures of the clubhouse and show them off. So look for that in this episode's show page.
Yeah.
For sure.
So we're in the conference room and we have a bunch of sound. It's not official sound stuff, but we went to Joann Fabrics and got a lot of like polyester sheets and, we got like really big long roll of it and then cut it into pieces that are the length of the big windows that are in here. Cause the problem is this room is really nice, but it's very echoey.
Yes. Right. When you have a meeting in here during the day, it is kind of echoey. But the price for that is paid for by having this really great complete edge to edge window, for one of the walls, the space here at Glitch, the conference room is just the end of a giant space. And it's just been segmented by this wonderful glass wall. Which is great. It's hard to record a podcast.
Yeah.
So we just got around that by putting up our sheets every time.
Yes.
With one of the most expensive components of this entire endeavor.
Oh, right.
We got these mini, what are they called?
Like clamps.
Clamps. Yeah. Mini clamps. And I think getting like 8 of them was like $50 or something.
Yeah. we could have, there's probably a better ways we could have done that.
Yeah. We could have used tape or something, but like.
I guess the Focusrite is more money than that, but. Right,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's the only other thing that's expensive is that, like, yeah, then the clamps.
Yeah. So what you guys are just mentioning is the it's the actual recording input device that we use. So the way we record the show is we have our microphones, we have microphone stands, we have all little bits and bobs, and it all gets fed into this thing called a Focusrite Scarlett, which there are many types of this device made by many manufacturers, but this one came recommended. It has 4 amps, so we can get 4 microphones on separate channels, which is important for when we record. So we can make sure everyone's balanced and correct anything without interfering with the others. And then that just is a USB device that feeds into my laptop. And then that records into Adobe Audition, which is the program we use to record. A lot of podcasts, and when you look online for like how to start a podcast, what do I need? There's a couple of different programs that are sort of recommended and have the most like community information. You know, that's it was one of the reasons why a lot of us use Unity, right? Mm-hmm. It's because there's so much information and out there that people share.
Yeah.
That's true in podcasting as well. But I do audio production and I do audio for film and other things, and Audition is what I know how to use. So that is so I had to teach you guys how to do that for podcasting instead of, so we're a little non-standard in that way. We just leveraged our existing knowledge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than the input device, which I put some real money into, it's about $300. And that was a one-time purchase, but everything else, the cables, the microphones, dirt cheap, really, really cheap. I was looking into getting something nice. Something that would last. But also, when we started the show, we were like, well, we'll see how this goes, right?
We're not sure.
And so I thought, well, I'll get something that's cheap, that can work, and that we can hold on to for a while, but that will replace. These microphones are like $16 or $18 each, and they're real nice. because we're not recording instruments with a high frequency range. They do human voice very well, and they're condenser microphones. They're nice. We should put links to some of this gear.
If you're interested.
But then we have like, we have little adjustable arms that we clip onto this conference room table.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing about our equipment is that all of it packs up into a little box.
Yeah.
So
you got a little file cabinet. We put stuff in.
Yeah. And then that goes under my desk here at Glitch. Mm-hmm. And it's a way for us to be, it also makes us mobile. We recorded at in Martha's basement. We recorded in my kitchen. Yes. We recorded in San Francisco.
Yeah.
when we went to GDC, and you can take this stuff with you. And that was another fun thing to design when we mm-hmm. started. It's like how to make this thing collapsible.
Did we intend for it to be as mobile as it is?
I wanted it to be because I wanted to be able to stow it away between recordings.
Sure.
I didn't expect us to take it to San Francisco and that be something we could easily do.
Yeah.
But it is really nice. Maybe we'll put up a write-up just for anyone, because it is kind of, I feel a little bit proud of the way we built it.
Yeah.
And we're around this table, so when we say round table, we really mean it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of more of an oblong table.
Let's not get technical. we each have our notes out. We use Google Docs for that. Steve, you want to talk a little bit about how we share information and do meeting notes and stuff?
Yes. So each... I have been getting worse and worse as we've been doing this episode, but I used to be really good at like making sure we had scripts up ahead of time so people could type up their notes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we record, I will make a script of both the roundtable we do and then whatever episode we're doing, whether that be an interview or a code comment or what have you. And then I will type up, like I'll put in like our planned topics and stuff. And you know how we have adjectives at the beginning. Normally, I just like replace the adjectives we have with just put in 2 adjectives, and I'll figure it out later. Then we figure out like a minute before we record, which is great.
Yeah, I think originally we had a spreadsheet where we kept track of a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
And like planned out in advance, like all the sort of clever, because that was one of my little narrative linguistic conceits, was to have that little like every episode would have a different way to describe Minneapolis, this lovely city where we live. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one who lives in Minneapolis.
Yes.
You guys both live in St. Paul. Heretics. Anyway, I thought that was a clever idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to... I thought it would just be easy to come with like a million of these and then we just go through them. But we ran out of them really quickly. And so we just come up with them right before. Yes. And that's also fine.
Yeah, that works out just fine. I'm sure we've like used adjective two or three times.
Yeah.
But like,
that was it. We don't want to repeat any, but now we don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we try to relate them to the tops of the show. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten really any direct feedback from listeners who are like, I didn't see what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. I'm actually curious to know.
Yeah.
Do people find that clever, or do they just like tune out in the intro?
Do they just skip the intro entirely?
I mean, we're going to keep doing it, but yeah. I'm actually curious to know what people's thoughts are on like the little indulgences we do in our format.
Yeah, I'm curious about that myself.
So let us know.
Yeah. But yes, so I will do that, edit the thing, put in the adjectives and stuff, and then I'll send a link to these two and myself, I guess, to put like our notes in. And I normally do the notes as I do the scripts. And like I said, I've been getting worse and worse at doing the scripts ahead of time. So I normally do the scripts or my notes, I guess, about the same time y'all do it. So like our ideally we like to put in our notes ahead of time, but mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. And like when we come to a show with the topic,
yes.
we, a lot of times it's a topic we already know something about.
Right.
And so we can just talk extemporaneously. And that was another thing about the format of the show is like, this is not a heavily researched program.
Mm-hmm.
But we do some research, yeah. and we do try to commit a little bit, and we do try to make sure we have notes so we know what we're going to be talking about. We don't miss anything really important.
Yeah.
It's okay to miss a couple of things because this is not, you know, we're not building an encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so having a shared document where we can all write that down is pretty useful.
Yep. And really, like, the notes aren't necessarily like scripts of everything we're going to go over. We do oftentimes go over everything we do in the notes, but like, they're just helpful to keep the discussion going in the direction we planned on.
Yeah. Like, for example, in this episode's notes, we have how the show got started, our roles on the show, the clubhouse, walkthrough of recording of an episode, technical info, running the show, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So we hit on those and we treat it like an outline, but we get off the rails really quickly. And so it then becomes a checklist.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of keep mental notes of it. We talked about that already. We'll do another thing or mm-hmm. whatever. And so we do try to keep things moving pretty smoothly. And when we have interviews, we do something, our notes are much less specific when we do interviews. It's mostly just a list of questions and they can just be asked when they come up.
Yes.
We try to keep things more of a conversation mm-hmm. Than a question and answer session. And that is because we use the same thing during the roundtables. So yes. Again, it's just makes it easier for us to do different formats of shows.
Right. Exactly.
And we send guests the script usually, right?
Or we have at been least doing that questions. More frequently. Yeah. We didn't used to do that in the past. I don't think, because most of the people didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But I think it's better just so they know what we're going to do.
Right.
So they get the script.
Because our interviews, this is the thing that we've held pretty strong to, is when we have somebody on the show, you know, a lot of times they'll have a project that they're working on that we want to ask them about.
Yeah.
But we also try to make sure that we pick a topic for them to talk to us about.
Yes.
Rather than just say like, hey, your new thing, tell us about it. Although we do save time in the show for that. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that the guest has some notes so that if they need it, so that they can you know exactly where we're going with it. Because we want to have, we call them interviews, but really there's just a fourth person on a round table on one topic.
Yeah.
Because we don't want the show to become, we didn't want it to become an interview show.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We wanted to do a lot of what we've done here in the community, which is to sit around and chat about an interesting mm-hmm. idea. So you'll see the names of our episodes when we have our guests on. You'll see the name of the topic. And it doesn't always align perfectly with what we end up talking about.
Yeah.
And that's the thing when we pitch, we say, hey, do you want to come on the show and talk to us about this or that? Or do you have an idea for a topic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually there's a pretty obvious reason they want to come in. Or like sometimes there is. Sometimes there's not. And it's usually their area of expertise or a product or project they're working on that is related to. But then we always want to make sure that they know that we're here to talk more about the details of an idea or a topic or, you know, an area rather than just a thing necessarily.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
And then we take them out for dinner after, yes. if they're local.
Shoot, sometimes I wish we recorded those because those are really fun.
Yeah, so Martha mentioned Town Hall earlier. And yeah, we as payment for guests to come in, we treat them to dinner.
Mm-hmm. What did you call it last time? Like the we're going to the ordinary place. There was some joke. Never mind.
There's always some joke. but yeah, we take them out and yeah, we just keep talking.
Yeah.
And that's how we know we had a good show is that it continues and you don't get to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you ever want to be on the show, free dinner for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we want to make it easy to say yes. Although most of our guests are like, free dinner. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
So
I let them know ahead of time.
Yeah. So maybe we don't need to be spending that money, but... But it's nice because it's we definitely want to, and most of our interviews are people from our local community, mm-hmm. because the way we formatted the show is like is we're, we want to develop develop relationships with the people in our community.
Yeah.
And so we have talked a lot about doing Skype interviews and people outside of our community. And a lot of it is that really the effort in getting those things set up is mm-hmm. actually the thing that's part of preventing us from having a regular thing. But also the format of the show is not super geared for that.
Yeah.
But we'd like to hear from you listeners if, you know, what you think, where do you think we can go with that? Because
yeah.
we like, you know, getting guests, you know, a lot of times is about scheduling. And if we had a wider pool of guests to ask to be on the show, it might actually be easier.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I would definitely like to hear people's input on
yeah.
if they'd like to see people. And if you have anybody in particular you'd love to see on the show,
yeah,
let us know.
Yeah, you know, when I went to GDC this year, I passed out flyers to a lot of the speakers and said, hey, I do this podcast. Would you be interested in ever being a guest on the show? And almost everyone just said yes. Mm-hmm. They'd love to do that. And we haven't really done any follow-ups on that because it really just does take effort to coordinate.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about the show is it needs to be easy to do. And, or at least... I mean, maybe that's not giving it enough credit, but like, but so some of the reasons we don't do certain things
yeah.
is because it would disrupt our routine too much.
Right.
So we're a little slow with some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk about, speaking of that, we talk about some of the other changes we've made to the show
over
the last 100 episodes.
So we were originally doing those co-op talk things. And then I was ranting a lot about having Let's Plays, like watching Let's Plays yeah. and stuff. I was like, we should do Let's Plays because that would be so cool.
Sounded exactly like that.
And so we figured out how to, like, we spent, oh my gosh, so much time trying to figure out how to do the video mm-hmm. episodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, right, because we don't have a setup that's similar to most streamers.
Yeah.
We might have made a little hard for ourselves.
Yeah.
So, and the idea behind the nice, we call them nice plays. And the idea behind them was that we would play for 17 minutes.
17 minutes. This is the prime number. Another one of my little stupid ideas.
And talk about like kind of the game design things that we noticed about the game we were playing.
Yeah.
And I think we got a bunch of feedback on that. Being like, if we played a game that we hadn't played before, then we were just doing the uninteresting part first, mm-hmm. like for the 17 minutes of trying to figure out how to play the game.
Right.
And that wasn't as interesting to people as like, okay, here we are halfway through.
Yeah.
Here's all the things that like we've noticed. Here's an example of this really neat game design element that the game has. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we started having time before we recorded, just having someone play the game so that they got through the intro part and got through all the cutscenes and played a little bit of the game so yeah. that they knew the controls and it wasn't like, oh, what does this button do for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And that had a little bit more success, but...
But I had to play Neo for like 2 hours. So there's a cost.
I still think that's a good game.
That if you go back and listen to that episode, it's just, I'm so grumpy in that episode. Like, I was not having a good time.
Yeah. Aw. But we still weren't getting very many watches, mm-hmm. and it was so much effort to do.
Yeah.
It's so much effort to do a video episode.
And that's we were putting out two a week, because they were 17 minutes, and we thought we'd record two of them, and then put them out on YouTube. And the thing with YouTube is just like with a podcast, like the more regular your releases are, the better. Mm-hmm. But if you just did one a month, it's hard to build an audience. So the idea was that we would put out two episodes every month, and that would be hopefully should be enough to get it going. And so we would record two of these. So we'd record three episodes that day,
yeah.
and two of them video ones. And that's where we had technical problems that led to the missing episode that sequence.
Yes.
But yeah, it's still a good idea. But it ended up, we wanted to try something different after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it was really fun to do, but the amount of people watching it was so disproportionate yeah. to the amount of work that they were doing.
It was kind of just a strange format, I think. Like I really like the idea of it a lot. Like, game designers going into a game and like discussing what they like and don't like about yeah. the game. But like, because we didn't want to put a ton of effort into like making it perfect, so like we tried like you were saying, Martha, we tried just playing it from the beginning, but then it's awkward because we're just trying to figure out how it works. Then we tried playing it partway through, but then we had to play it partway through, and that's a whole bunch of work. And it just didn't end up working out the way we wanted it to, I think.
Yeah. So then who came up with the code comment thing? Was that?
It was you.
It was me again?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I guess I came up.
Well, you came up with, I think, the idea and the name.
Oh.
Do you not remember this?
No. Okay. Well, I mean, I did, but I thought it was more of a group effort.
Well, we did. We workshopped it.
Yeah.
But the, you know, it came from you.
Okay. Well, I came up with this idea. It's really great. No, but because I was thinking about how we were playing games, and that's not really what our podcast is about. It's more about designing games and building games and talking about the behind the scenes part. So I was like, what if we should do videos of literally behind the scenes of our games, like show how we coded it? And because I was also really curious, selfishly, to look behind the scenes of both your games and like other people's games and be like, so how did they do that? Oh, I see. But I thought it might be more interesting to people to it was more on brand for us to use the phrase on brand.
Yeah.
But it works better with our show, I think, to do something more game dev oriented than gameplay oriented.
Yeah, I agree. So. Yeah, I like the way those turned out a little bit better too.
Yeah, and we've gotten some more views of them, so maybe our audience agrees. Let us know. Yeah, nicegames.club/feedback.
Yeah, we're not YouTubers, but like this you can't just put out a video podcast. You can, but like it's not practical. And we did try doing that originally with the Nice Plays. We put them on YouTube and we put them directly in the podcast feed as video podcasts.
Yeah.
But you have to compress the video. This becomes now a technical issue. You have to compress the video so small, and we have upload limits on the hosting service we use.
Right.
And so it ends up being like a poor experience. And most people listen to podcasts in the car or on the phone. And it's not really an ideal. Video podcasts are just not popular, but video on YouTube is. And so when we moved those episodes to YouTube, and we still have this problem, it has gotten better, I think. But it's still much less people engage with us in these video episodes than do on the podcast, because it's a different format, and we're still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah,
I don't want to give up on it because it's good stuff. It's good content, and we've gotten really good feedback on it.
Yeah.
Including going back to the Nice Plays, we've gotten the people who do see them. And there's not many, but the people who do love them, and so we want to make sure that you know we still keep that alive. But we're not as well equipped to make it as successful as maybe we'd like, and we have to either be really comfortable with that, or we got to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So, any ideas, listeners? Let us know.
Yes.
Contact at nicegames.club.
That's right.
Yeah,
we have email.
Yeah, but the video episodes totally were came about because we stopped doing those co-op episodes, which were extra. Mm-hmm. Because for a while we were doing two interviews every 4 weeks. It was every other.
Yeah.
So every recording we would have a roundtable and an interview, and that became unsustainable.
Yeah,
and so now we do a roundtable and an interview, and then the next week we do a roundtable and a video episode.
Yeah,
and that's our current format. Mm-hmm. And we're still. I mean, it might change soon. Might change not so soon.
Do we
keep it moving?
Do we have a video episode next week? Next time we record that we need to do?
Next time we record? Yes.
Yes. Do we have anybody for code comment?
Listeners help?
Too late. By the time they hear this, we'll have already solved this problem.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks, listeners, for helping.
Well, let's talk about how we solve those problems.
Yeah.
So every month, or every 4 weeks, because we record every other week. Mm-hmm. And on one of those, every other recording, so about once a month, we do a Clubhouse meeting.
Yes.
We've changed where it is. It's either between episode recordings or whatever. But we really just sit down and say, like, what do we got to figure out this month? And we do it on the days we record, so it's not an extra thing we have to do.
Yeah.
And we do it every month, even if there's not something we have to do, so that if something comes up, it's never too long before we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And that's when we figure out what our next topics for the next month are going to be, too.
Yeah.
Right.
We try to put as much of the homework as possible in times we are together, so that when we're not here recording, we don't have to think about the show that much. Mm-hmm. That is really important to keeping it going. It's also why sometimes we'll be like, oh, we came up with something at the last minute, because we try not to, we do not want to give ourselves homework.
Yeah.
Because that's how you destroy a project.
Yeah.
Right?
Just put too much work into it.
Yeah. But they're also, I think the meetings are fun.
Yeah.
Like we get to sort of be a little bit more just hang out. And when we talk about this, I mean, we hang out all the time in other contexts.
Right.
But it's kind of fun to hang out as a Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I agree. It's fun. I have a good time with it. Yeah, and I realize now that we're supposed to have a Clubhouse meeting, I think after this or something. And
that's why we have no idea what we're doing next time.
Right.
Because we haven't had our Clubhouse meeting. We haven't done it yet.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So what are we liking about the show, y'all? What's going really well? How are things? How are things in the Clubhouse?
My favorite thing about the show is, irrespective of its success or how either in terms of listenership or in terms of how valuable the show is to anybody or how well I think it was made, is it's just fun to do. Mm. And that is the thing that I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but it's the thing that I'm like, oh yeah, this is really fun. Mm-hmm. That is definitely the greatest motivator to continue doing it. Our listeners could be decimated and could, you know, we have, doesn't matter. It's just fun to do. Mm. So that's what I like about it.
Hopefully our listeners don't get decimated anytime soon.
Well, I'm the opposite. I like external validation. So the best part is when someone comes up to me and goes, oh, hey, you do that podcast thing that I listen to. Like, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
That is the only thing that does legitimately surprise me the most. Is like, wait, so you know who I am? How? Oh, right. I do this thing every week.
Right?
That's the problem. Right? Yeah.
It's wild how much that happens. It's great. Yeah, I guess for me, it's specifically that hearing how much people have gotten from the podcast that keeps me going.
Yeah.
That really feels good because it feels like I'm supporting the community a lot, and that like feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah, we now have, it's great on the local Meon St. Paul Game Dev Slack channel that we do have a sub channel for Nice Games Club just for people in the community to talk about the show. And that's gotten pretty active. Mm-hmm. And like it is, there's something really nice about putting something out and then that spurring something else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can't put a value on it really. Mm. It's really, really, it's very gratifying.
It makes me think that, like, the thing is, like, everything we add is more work for one of us or all of us. But, like, because only people from Minneapolis, St. Paul really want to be on that Slack because everything else is irrelevant to them.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait, should we have our own Discord or message board or something? But then someone has to mod it.
Yeah.
So if any listener is interested in doing that, we might
I have to talk. There's a Glitch has a Discord channel, right?
Yeah.
They have a bunch of different channels for all the events and stuff. We could have a Nice Games Club channel.
That's true. Discord. And that Discord is open to anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Should ask Ava about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Hey, Ava.
Ava is always like 4 or 5 episodes behind, though.
That's right. Yeah.
She's not going to hear this till Christmas.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, like being able to foster more discussions and stuff about like the topics we have, because there have been really good discussions on the Slack channel we have.
Yeah.
I feel like I've learned so much from doing this show too, like just about game dev stuff and like looking up stuff about history of things and thinking about different topics and stuff, and all of our cool guests that come on, like getting to talk to all these cool people about what they do and see how they make things and stuff has been really, really, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of an unheralded benefit is like really we are definitely improving. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like I'll do some research and I'll learn a thing I didn't know and you guys will do the research and you'll teach me things I didn't know and we'll have a guest in and they'll teach it. There's so much that I didn't know that I do now.
Yeah.
And it's hard to quantify that. But yeah, that's a big deal.
It like bolsters your confidence and stuff too in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. Like I feel a lot better about myself and like that like I actually am a good game dev. I don't think I thought that when I first started the show, but like I definitely feel like that now. And mm-hmm. I hope that like other people are feeling that like you also are a good game dev. It's just because you might not know a thing that I know. I don't know a thing that you know. And like we've discovered that together that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think our greatest shared hope is that you listener get out of the show what we get out of it.
Yeah.
And can hopefully we can find even better ways for you to be part of that conversation.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
For sure. Yeah, we'll investigate. That's another thing we should talk about. Like what the future of the show is, how we want to grow it in a way that we can that is sustainable for us. And we're always looking for suggestions because then we don't have to think of it.
So, smart lazy. Yep.
Send us an email, contact@nicegames.club. Direct us into the future, dear listener. But a Discord a channel is a great idea.
Yeah.
But we've also talked about having other people join us to do things like write blog posts or do video content,
yeah,
sort of as part of Nice Games Club, where we can provide some infrastructure and a little bit of a brand, you might say, to make it bigger than just the three of us. Mm. And we've workshopped ideas for that, but we haven't really put any of it into motion yet. Is there any of those ideas we've talked about that you guys are particularly excited about? Maybe want to really put some effort into?
Yeah. I really like the idea of like having like writing columns and stuff where people can, you know, just giving people a voice in the community who like maybe we've had on the show, but yeah, like we want more of them on mm-hmm. there. Like it's fun to have regulars on the show. Like Lane is a regular now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I don't know. That's a joke, but I think he wants the free dinner.
Well, we have given him a few of those. Yeah,
yeah. But just yeah, kidding, Lane.
She's not
cut
kidding.
That out.
yeah, but I think that like having a place for people to write blog posts and stuff mm-hmm. would be really good on our website, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely the thing that I think our brand definitely is a idea rather than necessarily personalities. Mm-hmm. Like we are the personalities of this program, but I think Nice Games Club can be bigger than that. Without diminishing what the show is,
yeah,
you know,
definitely, it is a club after all.
That's a super good point, Stan.
we should have like little club pins and stickers and official you're part of the club things, yeah, and stuff.
Before this was a podcast, I might have said this story in the show before, but Nice Games Club as an idea was something that I was like, I don't know what that's going to be. But in my head, I imagined that it would be really cool to have like a sticker that goes on like a game box that says, this is a nice game. And it's just an endorsement. It's almost like the Nintendo seal of approval.
Yeah.
But it would be for all the games in this community that have gone through Glitch and done playtest and have the sort of heart of the community in it. And, you know, I haven't put that into motion, but I still do sometimes think about something like that, mm-hmm. A little bit of a program, but I think it would require more people to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something we want to do. So if that's something you want to be a part of, you know, community listener, or hey, maybe you're listening, about half our audience is in California and half our audience is here local in our community, which is pretty nice. And we have listeners all over the world. Mm-hmm. So we do talk a lot about our community because it's what we engage with most. But we do occasionally get messages from, you know, far away that let us know, you know, that they are, you know, part of the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. So if that's you and you want to contribute and help us, like, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's start a chapter of Nice Games Club in your area.
Yeah.
We'd be into that.
Ooh, yeah. I like that idea. Chapter of Nice Games Club. We're expanding our brand. Oh, Stephen Business is in the building now.
I mean, the one thing we have to be careful is not doing the thing where it's like, hey, you're doing a bunch of free work for us.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Don't do that.
Well, that, I think that's the thing about it, like a group project is ownership is really important.
Yeah, definitely.
So like that's what, when I asked you guys to join, it was important that you owned the thing, mm-hmm. like, you know, at least creatively, if nothing else. And like, these are still my microphones, guys. But
and those are my clamps.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't own anything.
But yeah, that's important. So, I think that's why this process is slow.
Yeah.
Because we want to do it right. And we don't want to like, you know, and we have other things to do.
Yeah, right. Exactly. yeah. What other future plans would you want for this show? Like what other things?
I'd like to do more live shows. We did a live show at GlitchCon last year, and that was really fun.
What if we did a live show at GDC?
Oh, nice. Man.
That's like the dream.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there are, I mean, we can certainly start by doing more live shows at local conventions because it's not an uncommon thing to have a live podcasting. Mm-mm. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, to have a show, like to have a thing at GDC, like that would be just fantastic.
That would be huge.
That would sort of, that'd be another milestone in the we arrived list, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang.
And
I know. Stretch goal.
But yeah, I think that's one thing I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. I think that putting that on is like, it's hard. Like when we did that live show, it was a lot more work than a normal episode. And it really was, to the listener, a slightly less good sounding interview episode.
Yeah.
So like, it does make it kind of a hard proposition, but I would like to try it again.
Yeah. It's almost as if we have to come up with like a show, almost, maybe like have something more planned out. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not right. Like I say show and it just sounds like I'm talking regular show, but you know, show like in quotes, like
we have to put on a show.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Like, I mean, like we were saying at the top of this episode, like we don't do as much editing as we used to, but the safety net of being able to do editing is like is really nice.
Yes.
And that's the difference that a live show is. You can still edit the episode, but like, you know, you have people in the room.
Right, yeah.
Like right. you have to give them a show too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, I like that. We probably should try to do more live shows. I think that would be good for us anyway.
I'd love to do more things like when you and I went to GDC in 2017, you did a bunch of reports from Train Jam.
Yeah.
And you had a little portable recorder and you interviewed a bunch of people, little short interviews, and then we edited it together. You have edited it together after the fact. And that was, I would love to do more field pieces.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at local events, at other events, and to do more shows like the ones we did when we went to GDC and did those. Because there's a different kind of excitement that pervades those.
Yeah. Yeah, those were great.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like it if we had, I guess just like more people in the clubhouse, like more people who would come in and just regularly chat with us.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, have like a fourth person do a round table.
Yeah.
Episode.
Yeah. Like build the staff.
Of, yeah.
Right. The, sort of, the regulars. Right.
Yeah.
The supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Right. Like we now have a policy. We have an official permanent guest host.
Yes.
Holly Harrison.
Yes.
Because when we started, we were very much like, if someone can't be here, we're not doing an episode. Mm-hmm. Like that was our original idea. Is it needs to be the three of us or it's not happening. And reality intervened. And yes. we've done at least one episode where each of us has been missing.
Yeah.
Right. We had Holly on to talk about community management.
Yes.
a while ago. That was an episode we recorded in my kitchen. And we had such a good time and that when I was gone, or no, when you were gone, Steve.
I was gone. Yeah.
When you were gone, we had Holly in to do those two episodes and we just crowned her the Joan Rivers of the podcast. And I would like more things like that on the show.
Yeah.
More people who are regular fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
And who feel their contributions are valued and worth it and isn't just like, you know, said working for us.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Definitely. Yeah. Like they should also claim some ownership of the show too in a lot of ways.
And maybe if that means we have like, you know, we have the infrastructure now for this show. And, you know, one of the things I've talked to Ava about mm-hmm. is like, you know, is actually having more shows here at Glitch and that we can foster and help get started. So I'd like to see that as well.
Yeah.
And if that means it's about something else or whatever, that's fine. And if that means if it's something that's related to Nice Games Club as like either a spinoff or just more episodes of the show mm-hmm. that we put in the feed, also great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so these are the things we're thinking about. No promises, right?
Yes.
We'll have to come back at episode 200 and see
how we did.
How we did. Yeah. What
I would say, if we get to episode 200 and the show is exactly the same as it is now, I think I'd still be pretty happy.
Yeah, I'd be pretty happy.
I'd be okay with that. I think ambitions are important, but you can't weigh ambitions against your current satisfaction all the time.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I suppose. You should have ambitions beyond contentment.
Yeah.
But contentment is okay.
Yeah, agreed.
So I guess we'll see you next week. But of course, we'll check in again in, let's say, well, maybe we'll check in at the two-year mark. But we'll do a 200th episode when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
You think we'll get there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, good. No fear at this table. I love it. All right. That is our show, everybody. If you haven't already, and please, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Nice Games Club in your favorite podcast app. Be sure to give it a good review if you liked it or a nice like us. We need to know you're out there and have that communication, have that exchange. So leave a review And of course, tell all your friends too. Want to hear directly from you, so follow us on Twitter and all the other things at Nice Games Club. You can email us, contact@nicegamesclub. Give us topic ideas. Let us know what we're doing wrong. That's important.
Yes.
And of course, let us know what we're doing right so that we feel good about ourselves.
Also important.
Yeah. Lastly, you can find out more about the show and your nice host, as well as get all the links and notes from this and other episodes at nicegames.club. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.